You are on the Monday afternoon show. I have two wonderful guests here. We got Lillian and Susan in the house right now. And I would love to hear about your work and endeavors across the river and the event coming up. Lillian and Susan, welcome to the Monday afternoon show. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So let's just kick it right off. Susan, you're executive director of Place of Serenity. What is that and what moves you?
It is a sober house for women who have issues with substance abuse and alcoholism. And it is not treatment. It's a home where they transition back into society. There's a lot of support. We live in the country, and it's a country home. And the women come there, and they go to work. They go to school. They go to day programs, some of them. They get together. They got a lot of support. They support one another. They go to meetings. We have chickens on the property. We have fresh eggs every day. We make a bonfire at night. We have meetings around the bonfire. And they need the support. It helps them get back into the community, you know, and be successful. There is no other house in the area like it. A lot of houses are halfway houses or, you know, it's treatment. This is not treatment. This is a home.
What's amazing about the facility is that, you know, there are rehabs, and people go in and out of rehab sometimes many times over decades. There are also halfway houses where people go and they live in a group setting. But neither one of these is a help, really, to what real life is like. You know, many women, for decades, they're living a life on the streets. They're living a lifestyle that just supports using drugs and alcohol. And they've forgotten, if they ever knew, what it is to live a regular work-a-day life. So at the house, that's modeled for them. They're given lots of peer support to, you know, understand what it means to wake up every day and go to work, to really enjoy what they do, to support other people, to be less selfish, to really cooperate with other women, whether it's around the cooking or around problems or, you know, during meetings and groups, you know, finding compassion for other people, getting out of self-pity, and really seeing the value of women who come in and visit and bring meetings in that are real role models who have been down that road and are living really successful lives. And they talk about how that happened. Mm-hmm. And usually it's a day at a time.
And it's really good to see these women get back in touch with their children and their families. You know, we have 12 women there, and the success rate has been phenomenal in the short period of time. I've only been open since 2015. Mm. Okay, and I've had 9 women leave and get jobs, get their own apartments, vehicles, their children back in their lives, their family, their mother, their father, their siblings. It's really good to see that.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that kind of a supportive situation, where that hope, to have hope that you can be a family member, that you can show up, and that good things can happen to someone even later in life. Because the demographic there does run the gamut from young women who are in their early 20s to women who are 60 years old. Mm-hmm. And they all have their own stories, but they can all relate to each other in very specific ways that are helpful.
And do you live there as well?
No.
So you were on the board, and Susan, do you live there as well?
I live 2 miles away. I can be there in 3.5 minutes.
Okay.
That's what it took last night.
So,
yeah.
So you're right there. So this is really a communal life. It's a community household, right? And do you have somebody who's there kind of in charge or just running the household? Or who's living there right now, man?
There are 12 women living there, mm-hmm. and they run their household. They're learning how to communicate. If there's an issue, it's not about arguing. It's about discussing it and working it out, getting to the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody does something. Somebody does dishes. A couple people are better at cooking. Somebody does gardening. The only thing I do is go over and make sure everything's okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the grass is cut.
There you go. Well, and you are the owner of the house, and you're saying it's been highly successful over the past 2 years. That's great.
Well, yeah. And the truth is, whenever you get 12 women living together. There are going to be quarrels. There's going to be high drama at times. There are going to be all sorts of situations. Yet they often have learned the skills to deal with them themselves. But it's also true that Susan will drop everything and go over there and mediate. Mm-hmm. And mediation is important. And learning how to talk about differences rather than fight about differences mm-hmm. are skills that these women really have never learned. And so that also is a learning opportunity. Now, we may get too many learning opportunities of that of that type over time, yet every experience can be learned from. Mm-hmm. And that's the role of the women who come there to do service, because although there's no like 24-hour staff person there as yet, there are women who volunteer their time and energy and spend lots of time at the house with the women. And they bring meetings in, and they do groups, and it's really a very supportive volunteer community. And it is all volunteers. There mm-hmm. are no paid employees there.
Unbelievable. Which maybe we should jump right to. So then if there are a lot of volunteers and you're doing this excellent work here, then how do you survive? How do we get to, you know, the funding?
Well, for the first part, Susan self-funded the organization mm. from the mm-hmm. from the beginning. She was the one that got it. She was the one with the vision. She was the one with the energy and had this mission that was so strong that she was willing to put a lot of her own money into it in order to make awesome. It happen. Now, there have been other groups like civic groups and personal donors who have donated time and money to keep the house rolling. And recently, there have been some really wonderful donations, like a refrigerator, or there was a religious van. Organization that yes. donated a van so that the women could get to their doctor's appointments. They could get rides to work, because some of them don't have their licenses. And they need, and in order to work, they need a ride to get there. And mm-hmm. so now mm-hmm. they have a way to get there, and so there's no excuse not to work.
Now, you do, part of why you're here also is that you do have a fundraiser coming up, and we should just jump right to that. I mentioned it earlier, the Roots Music Under the Ridge event. It's not just a concert, but there's a yard sale and silent auction happening, and it is happening. Why am I spacing on the date? When is it happening?
It is happening September 23rd.
This Saturday.
It's coming Saturday, starting at 9 a.m. in the morning.
I knew that.
So at 9 a.m., and it is going to be huge. The donations have been coming in. Anyone who has a donation who would like to donate, it is a 501c3 charitable organization, and you will get a receipt for any donation that you give. But it's going to be a huge yard sale. There have been donations of original art, some beautiful things, mm-hmm. services from the community, you know, day spas, a motorcycle tune-up. There'll be a motorcycle being in the silent auction. So there'll be some really high-end things that people can bid on. But there'll also be lots of other things that are, you know, yard sale items that will be varied and pretty interesting for lots of people, because there'll be tools and musical instruments and interesting clothes, a lot of vintage things. It's really mm-hmm. going to be a lot of fun.
The mm-hmm. women have also began to bake, and they're going to have baked goods and coffee.
You know, it's those little infusions of cashola, I know, that make little operations. I know from community radio and from my folks run a community house for war refugees and people with disabilities that live together in a giant household and community. I know a thing or two about it, having grown up there, and it's not easy, and sometimes you don't quite know where the funding's coming from. But to have people show up at an event like on Saturday, like this event happening in Gardner, the Roots Music Under the Ridge event, you know, every little bit counts and helps. And it's the goodwill, those little bits of goodwill from people, I think, that really
absolutely
keep it going.
Right? There's a lot of good people out there, mm-hmm. a lot.
You know, and this event just really jumped off, because there was a real pressing need for having the event. Recently, there was a need to expand the kitchen in the house. There really was not enough space for refrigerators. Mm-hmm. There was not enough space for a dozen women to make meals there. And we had hired a local contractor to do that work, who turned around and basically ripped the organization off for almost $10,000.
Oh, come on.
Seriously. So, and left the side of the building basically open to the elements. Mm-hmm. And so there is a very pressing need, as winter is coming, for us to finish that addition.
Oh, you mean it's open right now?
Well, it's enclosed to a degree, but there's work that needs to be done in order for it to be finished.
Need to button it up.
But it's really ironic, too, that this crooked contractor made the need for us to have an immediate fundraiser, and then a reputable contractor donated the venue. So there's some sort of balance
you
in
know,
that.
Sometimes it's like the universe works in mysterious ways, right?
Right.
Yeah, it definitely does. And the venue is really beautiful. It's at 1062 Brunswick Road in Gardner.
Yep.
And Brunswick Road runs right under a part of the Gunks that is really beautiful. So, you know, as you drive down to the event, if you're looking to your right off of Route 4455, bam, this huge view of this giant ridge just pops out. And it's just a gorgeous view, and the property is really beautiful. The owner of McMahon's Contracting out of Gardner, Tom McMahon, donated the venue. So there's about 5 acres that the event will take place on, so we can really support, you know, 1,000 or 2 people would be good.
Nice.
And we're really hoping that many, many people come, because the music's going to start at 4 o'clock, and we're really hoping that, you know, it's the kind of event that people remember for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. We'd like to do it every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Throw a party. You gotta. Make some money for the organization. For the organization, I should say, once again, Serenity Scene. It's Lillian McMahon and Susan Brisbois in the studio here. This is a sober house for women over in Rifton, actually. It's right across the river, a little south from here. But this is doing the good work. You know, it's one thing to have people with substance abuse difficulties coming together and living in community, but, you know, they're doing the good work. You're doing the good work because, you know, it's hard to live in community without any of that, mm-hmm. as it is. Like, people don't know how to live with one another anymore. And right. I think what's happening is to come around and come out and to be able to live with one another with all those difficulties, I'm sure, is like, that's the future.
Absolutely.
We have to learn how to do that.
Well, you know,
right?
Finding that common ground. I mean, the common ground and the common thread among the women is that they all share a common disease and are all fighting this common disease in order to try to live, because they're dying. They're dying a day at a time when they're actively using drugs and alcohol. And the stories that they bring to the house are heartbreaking, really heartbreaking. However, even if, and they're very diverse. So you might have a woman who's 60 years old, who's been around the block, you know, as an alcoholic for 40 years plus, and you'll have some girl, basically she's a young woman, but still a girl, come in who maybe has been using a couple of years. You would think they would have nothing to talk about, but that's not so, because they can relate on a deep level mm-hmm. about what it's like to feel a compulsion to harm themselves, basically, to self-destruct.
Now, let me ask you, how do these women find you? And, I mean, this isn't, like you said, a halfway house or rehab. It's not court-mandated, necessarily.
No.
So it's more of a free will. People come to you, and how does that happen?
Well, through advertising, through referrals, through agencies like halfway houses, rehabs, drug court. I've had some referrals from Orange County Drug Court. New Hope Manor, which is a facility for women, and Arms Acres, which is a rehab in Carmel, New York. And I'm in the field myself. I'm a substance abuse counselor in Orange County at this time, and I know a lot of people, so it works out well, you know. And word of mouth is another one. These ladies have a lot of friends. They're addicts who have been in recovery and out of recovery for years. So they tell their friends, they tell other people, you know. Serenity Scene is where change happens, and it's happening.
You know, and it's not unlike that, you know, when women are on the street, there is a word of mouth that goes around about how to get the best thing, whether it's the best bag of heroin or the sale on alcohol, whatever. That common knowledge is spread. And in the same way, the news about Serenity Scene, and that there is a place that women can come and live, be respected, and actually find a way to have a decent life that works, is very compelling for
and
them.
And you got chickens.
And we got chickens.
I mean, there's something about being located in the country, like you said.
Dead end street. Nice.
Chickens, quiet, peaceful, serenity. That seems like that would help work really well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The pressures are much less there. It's a calmer place. That's why it's called Serenity Scene. Because, you know,
it's probably pretty far to the closest liquor store, too, out there.
Well, you wouldn't call it walking distance, that's for sure.
Right,
you'd
exactly.
have to be highly motivated.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's
which they become.
Yes. You know, it's substance use is no joke. It's no joke. And you mentioned the 60-year-old and the 20-year-old, you know, lots in common there. But I do have to say, from what it seems like to me, the game has changed a little bit. And I feel like there's a lot more out there hitting young people, a lot of influences. You got all these different drugs now, and the heroin problem from Dutchess County. And I got to tell you, I lived there for 4 years. When the first 2 years of moving there, two young men overdosed, died of heroin. You know, it's cheaper than a pack of cigarettes.
Yes,
and
it
easier
is.
To get and cleaner. And now they're cutting it with the fentanyl, and people are just, it's really serious, very serious right now. And I'm wondering if you agree with that, if that's the case.
I do agree with that. And we just became certified to do trainings of Narcan.
Yep.
At Serenity Scene. So our first training is this Thursday, actually. And we're going to train 20 people, some of the women in the house, some people in the community. My 14-year-old daughter has just become trained in Narcan because she's going to go to Kingston High School now. I believe everybody should be trained. Mm-hmm. You know?
And it's pretty amazing. I mean, 40 years ago, if you were a heroin addict, it was a super underground, very counterculture thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was rare that somebody knew a heroin addict unless you lived in that world. And it wasn't something that was commonly talked about. It was really a subversive thing. And now there are kids in middle school doing heroin.
Yeah.
There are kids ODing in school on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about using heroin and other opiates like it's nothing. Like it's having, you know, like it's having a drink. Like it's just some sort of fun activity. And it's the stigma of it is totally gone until their lives are totally in ruin and they find that they cannot stop. And that's where kids get caught, because they think, because kids are invincible.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think that they can ever, you know, get caught.
Or die.
They're going to be able to do this and have fun, and somehow they're going to escape the bad effects of it. And over again, they're proved wrong. And, you know, so the young ones that do come to Serenity Scene, they have tragic stories. You know, they've had experiences that no young woman should ever have to endure, because the mainstreaming of heroin and opiates has become so standard and so easily available that they're being trapped every generation, every year.
So I'd just like to put it out there, too, though, that if anybody wants to be trained in Narcan and you can't find a location, they can feel free to contact us.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit, just for people who don't know what that is.
Narcan is the substance that you administer through you can do it through nasal or an injection if somebody's having an overdose from opiates. Okay, so somebody could be passed out in school in the hallway, and 9 times out of 10, it's probably drug-related, but possibly not. But even if you gave them the Narcan, it would not harm them, mm-hmm. and you're not legally bound to anything. There's mm-hmm. no legal consequence for doing that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you have to be certified, though, in order to administer it?
You do.
Okay.
You do. And you can contact us, and we can help you get that certification.
And I believe it was it struggled coming on the market. I think there's a lot of conservative backlash saying you're enabling heroin addicts. They should not legalize this stuff. And then it finally came on, I think, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the numbers are, but it sounds like it saved a lot of lives.
It saved one in Saugerties yesterday, or over the weekend in Saugerties. Somebody overdosed and had two hits of Narcan, and it brought him back to life.
Well, anyone who thinks that Narcan is enabling should tell that to the parents of the children who have died because Narcan wasn't available for them. Did they deserve to die because they got addicted to a drug?
Mm-hmm.
Should they be allowed to die? Is it their fault? Or is it on society to try to become a place where that isn't possible at some point? But in the meantime, protecting people who are most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed that, you know, the prison industrial complex, which has grown dramatically, especially since the 80s, I think women are the number one increasing population of prisoners right now. It just keeps going more and more, like things like babies being born in prison and like horrible stories. And a lot of it's 75% of the whole prison system is all nonviolent drug offenses.
It's all
drug related. And it just, you know, and with the heroin situation, everything, you just see it increasing and increasing. Like, are they going to just keep building more prisons? Or are they going to look at these issues and say, actually, no, this is a medical issue. This is a social health issue. This is something, yes, that person chose to take that first pill or shoot up that first time. However, we're talking about something medical. And I'm wondering, do you see places like Serenity Scene, this wonderful house you created, as an alternative to the prison system in the future, as somehow to get away from that approach of punishment and towards recovery?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it seems like it would work.
Well, you know, years ago, I was in medical education in HIV. And I would bring HIV educational programs into Bedford Correctional Facility, which is a maximum security women's prison. And I would go in there and give these trainings and educate them about transmission, and some of them were HIV positive, you know, and talk to them about what was going on in their bodies and what they could expect. And, of course, the medical treatment in prison is horrific. And I would ask them. I'd meet this woman, and she's not under the influence. She's been in prison maybe for 5 years. And she seems like the nicest, sweetest woman that you could meet, really caring and reasonable. I would say, you know, when are you getting out, honey? And she'd say, 17 years. 17 years. Yeah, I was holding my boyfriend's drugs, and they were in my house, and I knew that they were there, so they charged me a conspiracy, and I didn't have anybody to give up. I mean, the other people who were involved in it, they had people that they could give up, that they could turn in and get their sentences lightened. But I really didn't know anything, so I couldn't cut a deal, so I got the heavy time.
Oh, my God. And she probably couldn't afford the, you know, $20,000 for a lawyer
absolutely
that would get you
not
off or reduce it or whatever. 17 years to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
I see it every day. I work with parolees. I see it every day. It's just unfortunate. It's not necessary.
You know, so the work of Serenity Scene is vital. The event that's coming up is going to make it possible for Serenity Scene to go on, because, you know, we took a severe financial hit because now we have to pay to have that part of the house finished, as well as to support the work that goes on there. And we're really hoping that people turn out and come to Gardner, to 1062 Brunswick Road. For more information about Serenity Scene and about the event, they can go on Facebook and just type in Serenity Scene, and they'll go to the group, and they'll see information about the event, or they can just type in Roots Music Under the Ridge, and they'll go right to the event page.
This looks awesome. You know, regardless of whether you really feel compelled to donate to the group, which I feel is a totally worthy cause. I mean, it sounds like an awesome event regardless. I mean, look at this. The Millbrook Ridge, you said. You're right under the Shawangunks. And you have the band Beat Roots is the name of the band, I believe.
Yep,
you
Beat got Roots in there.
Mike Fleck on banjo, Vicky Boulay on guitar, Deb Tankard on bass, and Laura Morawski on fiddle. It sounds like a party. And Silent Auction, yard sale at 9 a.m. That's this Saturday down in Gardner, 1062 Brunswick Road.
And for people who don't know like what roots music is, it really is a traditional music that's maybe a blend of bluegrass, Native American music, African American music, really old music. It's acoustic, but it will be mic'd and, you know, will be amplified that way so that, you know, even if there's a really big crowd, they can hear it. And we're also hoping that another band is going to show up at the event. So they may get a double header,
two for
the price of one. So we're hoping for that. But Beat Roots is really awesome, and they play music in a way and with a spirit that is hard to describe, where you really feel the history of it, but also, you know, the simplicity of, you know, the simplicity of the American experience in the music.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I'm really looking forward to their performance. Laura Morawski is a personal friend of mine, which is how we wound up getting them.
Good for you.
You know, she was contacted and told about the event, and they all have very, very, you know, busy lives. Yet, as soon as they were asked, she said yes, and she said yes for all of them.
Good. That's good. They didn't have a choice at that point.
No, it was wonderful.
Well, they're doing the good work, and so are you. I really hope loads of people show up this Saturday. This is really good. Good work that you're doing. Serenity House. Serenity Scene. I keep saying Serenity House, but it's Place of Serenity is the name of the nonprofit. Their tax-deductible donations.
And everybody come out, because whether you want to donate or not, it'll be fun just to come to a really beautiful place, to look at all the stuff, whether you buy anything or not.
There's going
to
be some
cool
stuff.
And to meet the women.
Yep.
And most of the women will be there.
Yeah. And everything that's sold there is going to benefit the house. So, mm-hmm. you know, you can come, you can look, you can hang out. We're going to have field seating. There'll be rent-a-blankets. We do encourage people to bring chairs and blankets because it is going to be field seating.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be an awesome party, and we hope a lot of people come. And thank you so much for having us.
Oh, absolutely. I'm really impressed with the work you do. This is a sober house for women living in community over there at Serenity Scene in Rifton. And yeah, again, best of luck.
Thank you so
really
much.
Really good work. I think we should play an Amy Winehouse song since you brought her up earlier.
I think that's
should we
awesome.
Go for it?
Absolutely.
Right. Please do.
Why don't we? There she is.
Perfect.
It's great.
We'll be right back. This is the Monday Afternoon Show.
Try to make me go to rehab. I won't.